Vice Chair Greg Hitt, you're on tonight, and I think just everything's right there. You just read off that, and we'll help you out if we get some sticking points.
All right, I'd like to call the regular session of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission to order. It's 5:12 on October 10th. Can we get a roll call?
Commissioner Forrest is absent. Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan is absent. Commissioner Milkey?
Here.
Commissioner Olson?
Here.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Here.
And Chair Merrick.
All right, thank you. First item on the agenda is a review and approval of September 12, 2002 regular session meeting minutes. Any comments or corrections on the minutes? I will entertain a motion. Second. All right. Just don't trip on it. Motion to approve the September 12, 2002 regular session meeting minutes. Can we get a, I guess, roll call, right? Oh.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkey?
Yes.
Commissioner Olson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Yes. All right, thank you. Second item on the agenda is the discussion of the water rates analysis schedule. Mr. Abraham.
All right, thank you, Vice Chair Hitt. I can't believe it's that time of year again. It seems like we just get through rates and budget, and we turn around twice, and it's time to start the rate-setting process again. So just an update for the commission. So if I swap the batteries around, it'll okay, it's like visit my mode at home. Well, can we just next slide it? So the water rates update discussion outline, purpose, water rate analysis goals, and our schedule. So the purpose, in accordance with Mayor and Council water policies 11.A.2.B, number 4, an annual review of the revenue requirements and water rates is performed to ensure the long-term financial health of the water utility. Functions of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission include reviewing and developing recommendations for water revenue requirements, water rates, and fee structures. The commission evaluates staff recommendations based on rate analysis to ensure the recommendations meet town policies and bond covenants. So what are our goals? Well, to develop water rates that generate sufficient revenue to meet the revenue and cash reserve requirements, meet our debt service coverage requirements, ensure revenue stability, maintain the overall financial health of the utility, and the water rates shall also promote water conservation, be the minimum necessary to avoid rate shock, adapt to changing rate drivers and consumer trends, be equitable between the customer classifications, and ideally recover the cost of service for providing the potable and reclaimed service that we provide to our customers. So the tentative schedule, we're looking at in November and December, we're going to have meetings with the Finance Subcommittee. And then in January of 2023, our January Water Utility Commission meeting will update and discuss the water rate analysis with the commission body. And, you know, if need be, between the January and February commission meetings, the Finance Subcommittee may meet again in the middle there, depending on what comes out of the discussions on the January Water Utility Commission meeting. And then in February of next year, at our Water Utility Commission meeting, we'll provide an update discussion analysis, and at that time we'll be asking the commission to make a recommendation to town council on the proposed rates. In March of 23, at one of the council meetings, we're planning on March 1st, we give our notice of intent to change the water rates, and there's no action taken by council there other than the notice of intent. The next day, we publish the public hearing date on the town's website, and that meets the minimum 60-day notice prior to the public hearing date. And then also, on that same day, we publish the notice of intent to meet the minimum 20-day requirement. And we just group those together just so we don't have to take a chance of forgetting to do the 20 days, since there is quite a bit of space between the 60 and the 20. And there's no problem with doing that. We've been doing it that way, I think, for a couple of years now. Then on June 7th, town council, we have our public hearing. It's 60 days from the notice of intent. Council considers adoption of the water rate change. If council approves of the change or any change to the rate structure in July, the new rates become effective 30 days after the adoption. Any questions with respect to the rate setting process that we're going to be endeavoring on with our IS subcommittee and the commission? All right. Well, just stay tuned and get ready to do it again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Third item, update and discussion on the Northwest Water Recharge Project. Mr. Abraham, Mr. Jacobs.
Thank you. So Lee and I are going to be tag-teaming this one. I had been primarily managing the partner version of the Northwest Recharge Recovery Delivery System, and Lee had been managing the independent portion, although you know, Lee's very much involved with the partner portion as well. So I'm just going to be briefly reporting on the partner portion, and then Lee will take care of the rest of the presentation, which is primarily the work of the independent portion. So just real briefly, I understand the commission knows these things, but this will be for the benefit of those folks that maybe aren't familiar with this or are listening in tonight or in the future. So the Northwest Recharge Recovery Delivery System project is a partnership project between Metro Water, Marana Water, and Oro Valley Water. In April of 2017, the governing bodies of those three entities unanimously approved an intergovernmental, a 15-year intergovernmental agreement that defines this partnership. Oro Valley and Metro Water have a capacity entitlement in this intergovernmental agreement of 4,000 acre feet a year. That's to bring in additional recovered CAP water to our service area. And Marana has a capacity entitlement of 2,400 acre feet a year. In the spring, the project was advertised. The lowest responsive bid was approximately 20% over our latest engineer's estimate and 30% over our budget projections. What we had been told by the, and we kind of had a sense where this was going to happen because of the economic and bidding environment that was happening in the spring and was really ramped up as in effect right now. For large construction projects, there's a shortage of labor, material availability. A big deal is a lack of supplier guaranteed pricing. You know, there was a time when if you got pricing for pipes and valves and fittings, I mean, if you had a good relationship with your supplier, they would hold that price for months, even to the point of until you needed it. That isn't how it is now. I mean, now suppliers are holding their price for weeks, just because of the volatility in the supply chain. There's a lot of competition for labor and material right now, and we feel it's due to the recent passage of the infrastructure law and global conflicts. So right now, there's just a lot of money in the system. There's a lot of work going on. People are busy. So they don't really have to go after projects as aggressively as they have in the past. So with the partners, we decided unanimously not to award the contract at that time, and we're going to evaluate the bidding environment on an annual basis and more frequently based on market conditions.
for the project to reduce the, one of these, this project has so many parts to it that we were told by the contracting community that they were really adding in a lot of money because of the breadth and depth of the project and the uncertainty. So we've been working with the contracting community. The contracting community is very interested in this project, and we've been working with them on looking at making maybe this a few smaller projects instead of one big project to reduce the contracting community's their risk exposure. And it's been really exciting that we're hearing you can save a million or millions of dollars if we make some changes on how we approach the project. So that's background work that the partners are working together with the contracting community. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, we want to make sure we get value in this project. We don't want to, we don't just want to just pile ahead no matter what the cost is. You know, we really, I felt that the risk was too high at this time, and the partners felt the same way. So we just hit the pause button. The partners are committed to the project. All of the partners are moving ahead with the independent portions of their project. Metro Run, Ore Valley, we're all moving ahead with the, like I said, the independent portions. So I think that's a good demonstration of the partners' commitment to this project. Are there any questions with respect to the partner portion of the project? If not, I'll hand it over to Lee to update our independent portion. Yes?
Would you be able to give us just some more details of what you're looking at in terms of tackling the smaller with the contracting community?
So,
not now, but at some point.
Oh, sure. Okay. But, you know, high level, right now, the partner portion included equipping wells, recovered water pipelines, a reservoir, and there was a lot of challenges with some of the infrastructure of the transmission pipeline, like some of the areas we had to cross that, you know, were... For example, the Portland cement plant, you couldn't take their conveyor belt out of service. So you get the bore and the loop and those kinds of things. So looking at, okay, let's look at splitting up well equipment, splitting up the reservoir, more manageable chunks of the project. But I can go into greater detail at another time. That high level, that's fundamentally the kind of breakup we're talking about. For the project. Chairman?
Does the increasing or the acceleration of the shortage declarations have any impact on your decision on delay, don't delay, accelerate, anything like that?
And start the first part of your question again?
The accelerating declarations of shortages on the lower Colorado River Authority.
Oh. You know, no. In fact, anything, to be honest with you, right now there's uncertainty with respect to the availability of water supplies for Colorado River users. If anything, it just helps us out to hit the pause button. Because let's just say, right now, we all understand shortage, and we've all done things to firm our position to manage it. And I'm not going to go too deep into this because it's not an agendaized item. But we want to get a feeling for what will our allocation look like. We just want to bring certainty back into the system. So, to be honest with you, if there's a reallocation that greatly reduced our allocation, we might do a redesign to reduce the capacity of the system. I don't know. So, that's another reason I'm okay with hitting the pause button on this right now. And as Leo was talking about, because the independent work we're doing is a benefit to the system, even without this project. That's why we feel so confident moving forward with it, and it just very well positions us for when we do move forward with this project and bring additional resources in the service area. All right, Commissioner Loki.
In the interim, is there any economical way to increase the wheeling of CAP water?
Yes, water? Yeah, that's a presentation we're going to give later in the year. I'm working with Tucson Water right now on reassessing all of our wheeling stations. And we just got the nod to increase the capacity of our countryside wheeling station from a base load of 100 gallons a minute to 300 gallons a minute. So
that doesn't really replace any of this, or doesn't augment any of this.
Not this, but here again, like I said, we're reassessing all of our organizations.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's one of the things is, when we modeled, you know, what Tucson Water's facility can do, is the model says one thing, and then engineers were pretty conservative by nature, so we're like, you know, let's cut that back a little bit. And Tucson Water's being very comfortable with what their system can do, so now they're feeling more confident about, hey, I think we can have it, let them do a little more. So we are taking advantage of that, but I'll be updating you later in the year on that.
And even a few hundred acre feet more a year would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. You're spoiling all the fun for later. Yeah.
Great
minds think alike.
We are looking at maximizing our existing infrastructure and looking at increasing our wheeling capability with what we have right now. All right, thank you very much. Lee, take it away.
Okay, well, good evening, Commissioner Mayor, Vice Chair, Commissioners. So as Peter mentioned, so I'll be discussing the independent portion of the NORDS project. So this starts from where the discharge is at the partner booster, that transmission main, it's the 6 mile transmission main that's gonna come out to Shannon and Naranja area. And from there, we discharge into our E zone and then pump it into our La Cañada reservoir. So this portion of the project here, this is that first portion that I mentioned, the portion coming from the partnered booster here, our transmission to our intermediate booster here at Shannon and Ronda. So this is the wells that, you know, this is just an illustration. Obviously, there's three wells, but we're going to be using two. At the partnered portion, it's going to be pumping into our four bay at the partnered four bay, and then we're going to be pumping out from here 6 miles into Shannon here, and then from here into our E zone. So the second portion, the intermediate four bay, which is going to be located at Shannon and Naranja, just north of Naranja, it's a 2 acre parcel. And here you can see where we've got a preliminary site layout of the site, what it's going to look like with our boosters, when it works.
It doesn't work.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to get in the way here, but. So this is going to be a reservoir. We have a planned $500,000 for a future, another $500,000 here, in the event that we did need it. We have a blending line coming in from our D zone here into our reservoir. This is our transmission main coming in from the partnered portion of the lower Santa Cruz water, and then it will get distributed here. In the event that we need to do any other sort of treatment, we'll have a facility available here, and then our boosters will be here, pump it out into our E zone. And Shannon Road now, it doesn't cut all the way through to Tangerine, but our discharge lines will be going into, one will go south and connect into an existing line on Naranja, and the other will go north and connect it to a line on Tangerine, an existing distribution line on Tangerine. Okay. So this is that D-zone blending line that I mentioned earlier. We had a subdivision just come in south of the high school on Shannon 80. It's going to be coming out on the Saguaro Divide Road, which connects to Shannon here. From Shannon, we're designing it now to go north and connect into our intermediate four bay there. So that's just a D-zone line to help us reduce our TDS. It's about a 2,000 linear feet of pipe that we'll be putting in, 16-inch ductile iron. And that's pretty much it for the independent portion of the NORDS project. Any questions? So this is our capital projects that we have going on this year.
Yep. I think he's dead.
Oh,
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I can turn it over to you. All right, sure.
We'll lose our audience.
We'll lose our audience.
Item number four. Thank you, Lee and Peter. Item number four is update and discussion on the capital improvement projects.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Okay. So this is going to be an update on our this fiscal year CIP projects that we have going on. And starting again with our wells, every year we try to identify at least two wells. Last year we did three. So this year we're going to do probably one. We've identified that one well as well, D1. This one is about a 20-year-old well that has never been rehabbed. So we're going to go in there and do a complete rehabilitation. You know, pull the pump. You can kind of see some of the work that's going to be done there. The contractor will come in, pull the pump, take the motor, send it off to have it rehab, bring it back, re-equip the well with a new motor. A new pump and oiler, and we'll video log the well. We'll brush and bail the casing, and we'll hopefully put it back into service in about 4 or 5 months. That's our goal. And our goal with the wells is to try to get them done over the winter months, our low demand time of the year. Because we can afford to take some of the wells out of service during that time period. So Nokomis Sky, this is another well. This is another well that you've heard a lot about. This one, you know, I think Peter mentioned, you know, there's some development. This development has been going on for some time now, but it's kind of beyond our control right now to get in to bring in the electric, but it looks like things are starting to move forward again. The utility is complete with the actual civil mechanical portion of the design. We're working on the control panel, so the SCADA, all that electrical for the site, that's planned to get done this year. Probably, I would say this fourth quarter or maybe early first quarter of next calendar year. This is gonna be a good producer. I think we permitted it for 1,100. Yeah, but I think we'll probably run it around 800 or so, plus or minus. And this is our steam pump well. This one's about 75% complete on design. Again, this one is also needing the control panel design and electrical work to be completed.
What zone does Nokomis Sky pump into?
To the D zone.
So it'll be providing some of that blending water?
It'll be providing some of that blending water, yeah. And that's kind of our pristine water zone, yeah, and the D zone. That's a really good water. So that'll be a 16-inch casing also. This one's going to be about 550, 600, probably no more than that, producer. So it'll be a decent well. The design, like I said, is 75% complete, and this will also be pumping into the D zone, but this is more on the north side of the CDO wash. It's right next to steam pump park. Our steam pump park, I'm sorry. So another project we have going on is this is a redundancy. This is for the Palisades. This is to service the Palisades area. It says Catalina Shadows there, but it's actually a larger area that we currently have a single feed to right now. And what we like to do is, you know, we like to have redundancy in our system in the event of emergency or something like that. We have multiple ways to feed a community or parts of the community, and so this is going to be an in-house design where we're going to be eliminating two what we call dead ends, where we have DBAs where the water just stops, and you know it's more of a maintenance issue because it has to be flushed periodically. So we're going to connect these two systems here, upsize this 4-inch line to an 8-inch line, connect it to another existing 8-inch here, and we'll be able to provide that needed redundancy for this service area.
So that looping of the system, it improves water quality too, does it? Or minimizes water quality problems?
It improves, absolutely improves water quality. Yeah. And eliminates maintenance.
Yeah. Water aging.
So absolutely improves water quality for this area. So this will be a good addition. And I think our operations staff and our operators have been wanting this for some time now. Yeah. we've got two sites in the town that we're working on, and both of them are happening this year. So good, positive. So this is the other redundant project that we have going on. So this one feeds the Al Conquistador subdivision. So this services the Al Conquistador Resort and then the Conquistador homes that are to the north and to the east of Al Conquistador. So this is another area too where we discovered a few years ago that it was a single feed, and we had a valve that had gone bad, and as a result of that, we decided not to replace that valve, because if we replaced that valve, we would have taken everybody's services. We didn't want to do that, so we're kind of working quickly to get this design completed and constructed next fiscal year. Both of these, hopefully, they have funding for next fiscal year construction. And then we have here, as Peter mentioned earlier, so we have a wheeling station. He worked out an agreement with Tucson Water to increase the capacity for our countryside wheeling station. So we'll be upsizing this system and then actually adding some telemetry for SCADA for the operations folks to be able to monitor this site remotely. And so this is moving forward as well. So this is another in-house design too that we're doing. So kind of see the cover sheet and then a little kind of example of where it's at. And so Rancho Vistoso, so we have this, the Rancho Vistoso is also one of our CIPs. We have a booster upgrades that we have going on now for multiple sites. So every year we're planning on at least doing one booster upgrade. So now with our HP tank rehabilitation program that we have going on, we're replacing all of our non-ASM certified tanks to ASMC board certified tanks. So there's our American Standard of Mechanical Engineers certifications. So now all of our HP tanks are going to be certified. So now we're going to come in and redo the actual boosters and look at the efficiencies and start installing what we call submetering, so we can look at the costs for each one of these motors and these pumps that we're running. So it's an exciting project. I don't know if a lot of people get excited about that.
We do.
Right, our efficiencies. So one of the sites we're actually looking at they're skid mounted. They call them skid mounted boosters, and what we're finding is what's nice about these is that they can be constructed in a shop and then transported to our site, minimizing our downtime. And a few of our sites that we're looking at upgrading, our first few booster sites that we're looking at upgrading are closed systems, so they're pressure controlled. And these sites, again, in the winter time is when we like to do this. So this is kind of going to give us an opportunity to have these constructed, designed and constructed, and installed in a short period of time, so we can minimize any sort of downtime or having any sort of pauses in our fire protection for these sites. So this is going to be important to have these, I call mobile.
I like to call them plug and play.
Plug and play, yeah. Plug and play.
But it is a permanent installation, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. The benefit is it's designed and it's fabricated in a shop, mm-hmm. and then it's brought out and
out to the actual site, and you can build it. Well, in our case, we're going to build concrete pads and place them on concrete pads. And it, you can see here, it has the panels, the control panels for the motors, and starts, and everything here assembled. And these are going to be more efficient.
Are those vertical turbines?
Those are vertical transmission turbines. Yeah, and so those are going to probably be more efficient for us and for what we're doing. In these cases, yeah.
That's cool.
So there. So this is Sun City. This is our other site there. So Rancho Vistoso. The Rancho Vistoso site. The Rancho Vistoso site and the Sun City site service the same area, so they service that whole community around Sun City. So both of these boosters we're looking at having them rehab. These were designed pre Oro Valley Water, so sometime in the late 80s, I think, early 90s, they were designed, and so we're seeing some inefficiencies, and we'd like to improve on that. And I think we can make I believe we're going to see a huge impact. Not only in our electrical costs, but in our efficiency obviously in the way the water's moved. And that's it for this year's CIPs. Any questions?
All right, no questions?
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Item number five, update discussion on the water utility financials. Mary.
Okay, this is a financial update for fiscal year 22-23 through September 30th. And for revenues, actuals are at $3.5 million out of a budget of $14 million. And I've just projected that all revenues are going to meet budget because it's so early in the fiscal year. Reclaimed water sales are at $385,000 out of a budget of $1.4. Groundwater preservation fees are $629,000 out of a $2.4 million budget. Service fees are $189,000 and the budget's $824,000. So overall, we're at total revenues of about $5 million out of a budget of $18,607,000. For expenses, personnel, we're at $783,000, and the budget is about $3.7 million. Operations and maintenance, we're at $1.8 million. Out of a budget of 10.6. Our capital, we haven't spent anything so far, and that budget is $1,150,000. Our debt service payment was made on July 1st at $4.6 million. So overall expenses are $7,231,251 out of a budget of $20,058,310. And then all expenses are projecting to meet budget. So new meters installed, so far 72, customer base 21,186, water audits 15, WaterSmart registered accounts are 7,116. And then we just started our new customer portal on August 29th, and we have 3,250 customers already. So in this portal, you can pay your bills, sign up for auto pay, e-bills, statements, update your contact info, and put in service requests to the customer service. And that's about it.
Any questions for Mary?
I got one. Is there anything significant, either positively or negatively, you're watching yet? It's pretty early in the year.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Item number six, update and discussion on water operations activities. David.
Oop, wrong way. Well, good evening. Thanks for having me. I'm going to give you an update on some of our water operations activities. We've got a lot of exciting things that we're working on. excuse me. In water operations, we have some staffing updates. We have a utility operator, too, that we promoted to an operations supervisor for our distribution. We have another operator, too, that we promoted to an operator 3 in our water quality division. We have an operator 1 that we promoted up into a vacant operator 2 in our distribution. We had one of our operator 1s transfer over to Mary's group. And we have open positions. We have 3 utility operator 1s and a utility operator 2 to fill. So we're moving along by training and getting people to promote and within the organization, and that's kind of one of the goals that we set out to do. For water operations and administration, we relocated all of the operations supervisors over to the MOC. So we went in and we reorganized that whole building to house all that. So that way all of our supervisors are together. They can rely on each other to share resources. The staff can be together. Before, we were kind of like all over the place. And so far, it's worked out pretty good. We had IT set up some workstations in the common areas so the staff can come in and do time cards or whatever else they need to do. It's kind of neat going over there in the mornings and feeling the energy when all of everybody's there and they're all collaborating together. Something else in the administration that we're doing is, this is one of our deciding projects here, is our SCADA upgrade to the ignition software. We held a kickoff meeting with the vendor Vertec to discuss the scope of the project, our time frames, what are our major milestones, what happened, and other technical issues. I gave them a firm live go live date of April 2023, so I gave them a target to go get through before we end the fiscal year. With a completed project before June 1st, 2023. We gave them a project cost not to exceed $300,000, just a little over $200,000 we think we're going to be out hopefully. So IT has already purchased and installed all the required servers and redundant servers, so got all our hardware, we're ready to go. Some of the major changes that were needed and why we're doing this upgrade is the operators can have faster login time right now. They got to log in from their iPad or the remote desktop through all of the communication that's really slow. The graphics are easier to read and interact with. We'll have true historian with customizable reports. Reduced licensing costs, that's a big one for us right now. The licensing with the current system is for every user we have to have a license. That's very expensive. And then one of the good things that I was going to surprise Peter with is we're going to have a director's view for this. He'll really like that.
But read only, right?
Read only. Read only. So currently, our SCADA system is this right here, this real cartoony look. And what we're looking at going to is more of an industrial look. This will be kind of the director's view. He can have a monitor in his office or in the utility office, and it'll show an overview of a map of the, this is Queen Creek, so it's not Oro Valley. But it'll show an overview of the town and where the sites are located and what's going on at the sites. It'll give a reservoir level of pumping, about any kind of information we want on there. Currently our operators, when they go in to do any kind of work, set pumps or look at levels and stuff, they're looking at this kind of mess right here. Again, it's cartoony looking. So we're going to go more to a cleaner, industrialized look where it's a lot more user-friendly, easier to operate. So we're really excited about that. So in our water production, again, they got a couple of new staff that's within the last year that's come up. And so we're taking some advantage of opportunities of pump repairs and stuff for the more experienced staff member, training them up. Also, our Arizona Department of Corrections Inmate Work Program, we officially kicked it off in August. So we ended up, we got a trailer that we purchased just a shell of. Here it is, just raw. ADC staff and our staff went in and they painted it. They coated it so anything gets spilled in there, it's easy to clean up. They outfitted it, organized it really nice. And now they're working on a toilet trailer for them. Some of the site cleanup and stuff that we've already got done with ADC, you can see here where the weeds are, trees are all, brushes growing up around there, and then after they cleaned it up, there's another view. This is more of a common area in between one property and ours, but they went ahead and cleaned it up and made it look real nice. And again, that frees up our regular staff so they can do, you know, more important jobs. They did some painting. They were able to go on the reclaim site. You can see it before and after they painted it. And then we had our graffiti artist called Goof get us again. And they were able to go right in there the next day and get it all painted. Actually ended up painting the whole site. And our water control system, we're doing some PLC panel upgrades that coincide with this new software, this new ignition software. We need some PLCs that'll do it. On Wednesday, they're going to do one of the main potable PLC upgrades going to happen. So we're taking the SCADA system down. We have all hands on deck to be watching the system. And then we're going to do our reclaimed master PLC. And water distribution, knock on wood, we only had one minor main repair on a 4-inch PVC line that was at the end of a cul-de-sac. You can see here where it was leaking. We got called out. We got our locates called in. They excavated, cut out the bad piece. What it ended up being was from a previous utility years ago doing a bore through here. It caught the edge of that pipe. It's been like that for who knows how long. Then there it is being repaired. Another thing that we're working on is some security retrofits for our fire hydrants. The original, I don't know if you can see it, is these defender type. They're just like a strap that goes around with this weird lock on the back, magnetic, that gets gummed up. So the fire departments go up, they got to fumble with it or they got to cut it off. So we're retrofitting into a magnetic lock, and all the fire departments are already equipped for that, and it will match the surrounding areas, Marana and Tucson, and I think Metro Water has it. In our water meter operations activities, the staff was busy with assisting Mary's group with implementing the Spry Point with the mobile app and getting it up and running. They've had to do a lot of field work. So that's just kind of how, what their views are out in the field, what they can see and do their work orders and service orders. It makes things a lot more efficient. Water quality, I don't have very much updates from the last time that I presented to you. Again, we've done over 44,000 potable water samples for chlorine, TDS, pH hardness, both compliance and non-compliance. And we're still managing the 468 backflows. And managing the construction water. And that's what I got for you. Got any questions?
I just have a suggestion. When you're done with your migration to Ignition, generally the rule of thumb is kind of think about budgeting 5 to 10% for the next couple of years for feature enhancements, because your operations center techs are gonna have a bunch of, why can't I do that? And it's probably all good stuff that they're gonna say. So just, that's the general rule with how those go. It's generally about 5 to 10% of whatever the capital cost is to put it in is usually what you're gonna get hit for in the first couple of years.
And most likely that will happen. We've had our operators come in and look at it and start offering that up right now, so we know what they want. As far as all the screen designs and the way that they look, I've instructed the production supervisor to take his staff and work with the vendor, and let's get what you guys want.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a bunch of phases where you continue to improve it and get more efficient, so it's money well spent.
It's money well spent, I agree. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, David. Item number 7, update and discussion on water resource usage. Peter.
All right, thank you. You know, before I begin, I just wanted to reflect on, you know, Mary's group with Spry Point. It was all hands on deck for about 4 weeks there. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a lot of customers calling in, and you know, we brought in some folks from water operations to help us. Nicole was helping us, so thank you, Mary, and your group. They put in a lot of weekend time, and I think we're over the hump now. Mm-hmm. People seem to really like it, and they've become accustomed to it, so I think it's going to be a real benefit to our customers and also make our customer service operations more efficient. In fact, we had one of our part-time people resign to move on to other things, and it's our plan that we don't think we're going to need to fill that position because of the efficiencies generated by the new customer service interface. So, Mary, thank you very much, and good job to you and your team. And then to David, you know, one of the things when I asked David when he got here, I said, you know, right now we've got these satellite facilities, the operations is very compartmentalized, there's no cross-training, there's no movement across, you know, the distribution, production, all that. I said, I want that to go away. I want these guys to be like, know what everybody's doing and better communication. It's been a tough road for David to hoe. He received resistance and every step of the way, and that those days are over now. He's got some new staff that they see the vision. Like you said, right now they all report together. You should see the place, the collaboration between supervisors coming beside each other, the help
got a new supervisor that had never been a supervisor before. The other supervisors are coming beside him and helping him to mentor him on how to supervise him. Just a completely different culture. And we have a lot of, we were working HR overtime because, we've had people retire and folks want to try these other positions. There's promotion opportunities. They're getting certifications in excess of what they need so they can be prepared for these promotion opportunities, and they're taking advantage of it. So a lot of exciting things happening in water operations. And then Lee's group, we got the seasoned inspectors, doing a great job and working with engineering. One of the things is throughout my whole career, there's always been this little wall between office and field, engineering and operations, and Lee and David get along fabulously, and that's going away. So a lot of exciting things happening within the water utility with respect to culture and efficiency. So thank you very much to my senior management team. Couldn't do it without you. So water resource usage. So here, every quarter, I report to the commission. So this is for the third quarter. This represents our water resource usage from January through September. Along every category, we're in our third year in a row of reduced consumption, and primarily due to last summer and this summer, we've had some great summer hydrology. I think Lee was telling me we had like 12 plus inches for the year. I think on rain, something astronomical. It's been fantastic, but I think it's reflected in our water resource usage here. Our reclaim usage is down. Our CA production, that really doesn't ever change. We base load that the same volume 24/7. We don't do any kind of peaking with our wheeling. It's base loaded, so that stays pretty much the same. And we want it to, because the more of our CAP allocation we deliver to our service area, the less groundwater we're going to be utilizing. And here again, so with respect to reclaimed water, we're 70 acre feet less than what we were this time last year. Our CAP is about the same, a little over 1,800 acre feet for the year to date. And our groundwater production is down a little over 100 acre feet year to date. So good stuff. We have more customers and we're utilizing less resource. Still interesting, we're always still see a declining trend from the mid-2000s. So maybe we can keep that up in perpetuity. That'd be fantastic. Our countryside service area, same story here. The CAP consumption is base loaded. It doesn't change. That's about 130 acre feet year to date. I'm hoping next year I'll be reporting to you that's 300 acre feet year to date. And that would have just such a profound effect on our groundwater production. Our groundwater production is a little less, maybe 10 acre feet less than what we were this time last year. But we increase our wheeling capacity. We completely knock down our groundwater utilization. And kind of excited to see how the wells recover from that. We've seen some recovery due to the CAP wheeling. I'm really excited to see what happens when we increase that wheeling capacity. But of course, bear in mind, we're not the only ones utilizing that groundwater resource. There's a lot of private wells. I think that Tucson Water's in the area and Moran is in the area as well. But they all have the same goals in mind, is to reduce groundwater and be utilized in other sources of supply. Any questions with respect to our water resource utilization for Oro Valley and Countryside? All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Peter. Item number 8, town council meetings and communication. Councilmember Ball.
Thank you, everyone. We're back meeting on a regular schedule now. And there haven't been any specific items for water in the last couple of council meetings, but there have been a number for growth that I think might be of interest. Something that we approved at the last council meeting is the general plan amendment process has been changed by Phoenix. We used to have a calendar wherein you had to get an application in by April so you could hear it in December. And that was kind of constraining. Now it's going to be you can put your applications at any time of the year and finish them within a year. So if you can imagine, that provides more flexibility and really some real benefits, because a general plan amendment can be a 3 or 4 hour presentation in December. Imagine if you have 2 or 3 of those. I've heard stories. I haven't been through one, but I've heard stories of 6 and 8 hour meetings. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Applications, neighborhood meetings continue to happen. Neighborhood meetings come up when there's an applicant that has a new idea and they want to grow, and they have to go through the neighborhood meeting process. So that's kind of a bellwether of things that may or may not be coming. The applicant still has the option after going through the neighborhood meeting of not going forward. But we're getting a healthy supply of new application. You guys will see it too. You'll see the yellow signs, and that's a sign that something's happening in your area. So thank you guys very much for your time and your service, and that's what I have for this month.
All right. Thank you, Councilmember. Any questions for him? No? All right. Item number 9, subcommittee commission reports. Finance subcommittee, did they meet?
We have not met since the last meeting.
All right, thank you. Water Resources and Conservation Committee has not met since the last meeting either, so we will be done with that topic. Item number 10, once again for Peter, to the director's report.
All right.
Thank you.
I don't think you have the date right for the state of the town. I think it's the 27th. Right?
Did I have these backwards?
Yes, I believe it. Yeah. The 19th is a council meeting day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for picking up on that. Don't let that confuse you. Okay, so October 19th is our next council meeting, town council regular session, council chambers at 6 p.m. And October 27th is our state of the town lunch. And I think it is, you remember who's going? I think who's going to go? I think McMillan is coming. And there was 3. So look forward to seeing you there. It's usually a good turnout, lots of vendors. We get to see our colleagues from other jurisdictions. Usually there's representatives from Marana, Pima County, City of Tucson. So it's good to see those folks again. And then our next Water Utility Commission meeting will be November 14th. Right here at 5 p.m. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Peter? All right. Future agenda items. Any requests for future agenda items at any of our upcoming meetings and topics? No?
No.
All right. Hearing none. Motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All right. We do roll call for that.
Commissioner Walter? Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Commissioner Olson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Yes.
Chair Merrick?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.